You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, this Saturday evening, February the 27th. It's going to be an important broadcast this evening when yours truly and my co-host Keith Alexander talk with Sam Bushman, who just wrapped up giving a very important speech in Texas at a conference. He's going to be talking to us about Operation Choke Point and how we can overcome the forces of evil who seek to silence the righteous and the brave. We're going to be talking about CPAC tonight, which is underway in Orlando, Florida. Later in the broadcast, author, YouTuber, and advocate Jason Kuna will return to take us on a journey of losses, victory, and redemption before Jack Ryan issues a challenge to close out the show. But first, let's get down to very important business. Let's get right to it right here at the very beginning. On February 3rd, we lost all ability to process contributions made via credit card. For the past 16 years, approximately 50% of the support we have received has been generated online. That has all been wiped away. The automatically recurring monthly donations upon which we base our annual budget have been completely eliminated. Time will tell how badly these recent events will damage us. It could be bad. It could get very bad in an awful hurry if this situation is not addressed. That's why we're addressing it here right out of the top. I'm no stranger to such attacks, of course. Whatever hardships have been imposed on dissident leaders in recent years were first experienced by me and by this program. For example, the Political Cesspool was banned by PayPal all the way back in 2006, which was long before others were subjected to similar measures. In 2008, a TPC-sponsored conference became the first to have a legally binding contract with the hotel be arbitrarily canceled. So what have we done? What have we done all these years? We adapted and we overcome. We still have conferences, and we have, I believe, the best conferences in the entire movement. We did not allow them to get the best of us. You adapt. You overcome. You persevere. Frankly, we've already been deplatformed by numerous credit card processors over the years, but we've always been able to quickly find an alternate vendor who would work with us before being canceled by them in turn sometime later. For me, I can tell you it has been the business equivalent of playing a 16-year game of whack-a-mole, only this time the game is over. That part of the game is over. Now, I would have brought this matter to your attention sooner. We found out about this a month ago, but I first wanted to be sure that we exhausted every possibility of restoring our ability to process online donations. I didn't want to do anything haphazard, and I wanted to be sure, and I wanted to do our due diligence. And so I can tell you now, at great expense and with countless hours of work invested over the course of the past month, my web team has reached out to dozens of merchant providers. We have talked to people all over the world, and I can tell you with certainty that every company has flatly rejected us in the application phase. We have been blacklisted for our refusal to stop speaking the truth. I don't like to constantly fundraise. I could have talked about this some weeks ago, but again, we wanted it to coincide with our first quarter fundraising drive, which in fact did kick off yesterday as regularly scheduled. Now, this is the first time that we have not been able to bounce back with regard to this particular problem. It's also the time that some of my fellow travelers might complain about cancel culture. They're not necessarily wrong in doing so, but that's just not my style. I enjoy a challenge because struggle and adversity breed greatness. I've spent my entire adult life growing this audience and building the infrastructure of this radio program, and it will now be put to its greatest test. Now, perhaps I should have gone out and made money first, and then I could have self-funded this whole operation for all these years. But that wasn't God's plan for me. That wasn't the way my path was supposed to be led. Maybe if I had done that and gotten fat on money first, I would have wanted to safeguard my treasure so much I wouldn't have had the will to go out and speak the truth as I have done and as we continue to do here on this particular program. But we are entering into uncharted waters. As I mentioned before, TPC has historically received nearly half of its funding online. So obviously, if half of our support is lost, we will be looking at our final months on the air. However, if our legion of supporters make ready to fight back, we can overcome those who would consider it a substantial victory to silence our voice. Don't let them win, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let them win. And I'm sure my enemies would probably like to hear upsetness or anger or concern in my voice tonight, but as Keith was talking to me and asking me at dinner tonight before the show, how do you think this is going to affect us? I said, we're going to come back stronger. We're going to come back stronger because that's who I am and that's who our audience is. I've anticipated this day, of course, for years. It is what it is. Of course, nobody enjoys having an injustice being visited upon them, but it is what it is in this degenerate day and age. Our first quarter fundraising drive begins this weekend, and it will be, under the circumstances, the most important fundraising appeal in the history of the program because it will determine whether or not we can live without online processing. So if you have ever valued the work of TPC, I need you to respond now. If you are a monthly or a quarterly donor, as so many of you are, I need you to give now. If you donate intermittently, maybe once a year, maybe every couple of times a year, I need you to give now. If you're someone who has traditionally contributed to our work online, I need you to switch methods and remit a check or money order. That's the way it's going to have to be. That's the only way it can be going forward. And the stakes couldn't be higher. We are engaged in a war of attrition, and the response we receive to this urgent call will determine if we can survive our most significant challenge yet. And it all comes down to your response, and I need all hands on deck. If everyone gives, of course, we're going to be stronger than we ever have been. If everyone listening to this broadcast, if everybody who receives a letter from me next week responds, hey, we're going to be good. We will rally. Help us rally. With all sincerity, I implore you, if you are listening to me right now, give as much as you can comfortably afford. Anything will help, and I hope that everyone can respond with something. That's how serious this is. This radio program is unquestionably one of the most effective and venerable and longest-tenured organizations that our movement has ever produced. That's just a fact. And thanks to your support, by the way. That's all, you know, here's the hierarchy here at TPC. God, our audience, the staff and crew. We serve you, and we serve him. And I would put, because of you, our portfolio of accomplishments that we have built together over the past decade and a half up against those of any peer or contemporary. And I'll tell you that this does nothing but motivate me to redouble my efforts, to fight harder. I hope that it encourages you to do so as well. And you can do that by supporting us right now. I am proud of the alliances we've built, but also of the enemies that we have accumulated. You know, we are attacked by such a diverse roster of ne'er-do-wells that includes, but is certainly not limited to, every major media outlet in the world has attacked this program at some point in time, many times over, in fact. The United States Congress, a couple of times and counting, Southern Baptist Convention, vapid celebrities, Democratic heavyweights like Hillary Clinton, and establishment conservatives, too. As I heard somebody put it recently, Christ was crucified not because he was a kook, but because he was effective. They don't go after the kooks and the ineffective. They go after the people who are making a difference. And I'm not trying to be blasphemous and compare me to our Lord and Savior, but if you're not getting attacked, this is the point. If you're not getting attacked, you're not worthy of support. If I wasn't getting attacked, if I wasn't being subjected to things like this, I wouldn't want you to give to me. You shouldn't give to me. But because we are attacked, it reinforces everything you know to be true about our work. And it's us and our audience against the world, folks. That's the way I see it. Nothing comes easy. I have fought for every inch of advancement we've ever made together, and I am not about to stop now. Don't stop. Stand with me. We'll be right back.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher Certified, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry. industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, one more word about what we were talking about there in the last segment, then we're going to bring Keith on and get on with the rest of the show. But folks, listen to me. We have been deplatformed once and for all with a great deal of finality here, and I don't want your pity for that. What I want is to continue to fight and to serve our shared cause, and you alone can help us do that. So I do regret the inconvenience. We have had people who for 16 years have donated exclusively online, and so we won't be able to have you do that anymore. You will have to, unfortunately, take the time to write a paper check and send it on down in the mail with a stamp on it and do it the old-fashioned way. But this is what it comes down to. Will you stand with us? And if so, please send checks or money orders made payable to Political Cesspool to our address. And, of course, you can get that on the website, but I'll give it to you now, P.O. Box 34336. Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That's P.O. Box 34336, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. I have said so many times over the years that fundraising is the worst part of the job. But interestingly, and it is, but now it is entirely necessary. And it does coincide with our first quarter fundraising drive. We could go grow stronger through this. Credit card processing companies take 3.5% of every donation. 3.5% of every donation we've ever received online went to feed the beast. So if everyone would continue to lend a helping hand and send in a check or a money order, we'll be pocketing that extra 3.5%. Recurring donors, maybe you could give a check for a few months in advance. We'll talk about it. And by the way, if you are a recurring donor, you will be hearing from me this week personally. I'm going to reach out to each of our recurring donors and work with you to accommodate you. But look, here's the thing. I heard it once put that victory belongs to those who believe in it the most and believe in it the longest. And we're going to believe. We've got some great incentives for you. Jason Kuna's book, Crucible, is going to be the incentive this week, this month, that we're offering this quarter. And it coincides with our situation here. It takes us on a journey of losses and victories and ultimately provides us with a roadmap to take back our country and to overcome situations like this. You're also going to get a surprise gift from our friends at Dixie Republic. That's if you donate at the $100 level or more. And again, due to deplatforming and censorship, we can no longer process credit card contributions. So this is the most important fundraising appeal in some ways in our history, and your response is critical. God is real. God is with us. People say, well, James, we appreciate you so much. We appreciate what you do. We get the letters, the emails all the time about how much people appreciate this show. Let me tell you something, people. I appreciate you that much. You do the things I can't do. It's a symbiotic relationship. Your support gives us the ability to stand for you in the public arena. And Sam Bushman will be on with us in the second hour to talk about Operation Choke Point, how this attack on freedom of speech and assembly everything's going to have a central theme tonight, but how they are going to be using deplatforming and censorship and how it is a direct attack on our most basic rights. People say, well, how did you last so long? 16 years. Donald Trump just got banned from using credit cards. Well, because we spent a lot of money with our web team shrouding companies we were working with. Of course, a tech-savvy enemy can always ferret out the information, but we did try to shield it as much as we could. So anyway, folks, listen, fight back by writing a check. I don't want to spend the whole 3 hours tonight talking about this, but we have to talk about it. We have to address it. This is the time to do it. Been working on this day and night for a month. We've been working on this, and you're going to have a letter coming in the mail to your mailbox if you've donated to this show, so get ready for that. They struck a blow. You can strike a blow back. Do it. Strike a blow. Keep us on the air, and we will persevere. And I tell you, Keith, as you come on now and join the show, I love a challenge. I love being attacked. I wouldn't know if I was alive without it. There is a thrill that comes from being able to overcome your adversaries and the obstacles that they put in your way. It makes it all, it makes the work a little more rewarding, a little sweeter. Doesn't say it makes it easier, but anything that you have to fight for makes the end game that much more rewarding. And so anyway, folks, that's where we are. That's what you're going to have to do. And that's the situation. Keith?
It reminds me of, we're trying to adjust the sound here. Back in the 50s and 60s, when I was a little boy growing up, I remember they had commercials on television and the radio. It said, fight cancer with a checkup and a check. Well, what we're facing right now is a cancer on the American body politic of left-wingers that basically want to disregard the Constitution, particularly the Bill of Rights, and in particular the First and Second Amendment. And they're going after all dissenters, which would include the political cesspool, but even includes people like Charlie Kirk and the people at CUTPAC, otherwise known as CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Committee. They are apparently just as big enemies as us. Anybody that is right of the prevailing liberal orthodoxy is a target now. So check up and get fight cancer with check up and a check. Check up all of the people you do business with, and if they are into this critical race theory, most all of the big corporate executives for the big Fortune 500 companies are down for it, stop doing business with them to the extent that you possibly can. Give that business to mom and pop operations that the elite are in specifically trying to run out of business using COVID as an excuse. There is a barbecue restaurant in Memphis, Tennessee that's been around all my life. They had something in the newspaper saying that they were going out of business because of the COVID restrictions. Score one for the bad guys. That's what they're trying to do, trying to put people like us out of business. So check up everybody you do business with. Let's support the good guys and don't support the bad guys. And then a checkup and a check. We need your check now. We don't just need your money. We need it to come in the form of a check. The good old-fashioned way. See, they can't do the government. Like, you know, if you send something by the post office, that's a governmental action, and that is definitely protected by the First Amendment. They would argue that these tech giants and tech platforms are not the government. They're privately owned, and therefore they can do what they please, including suppress freedom of speech. So send us a check, check up, and make sure that the punishment flows in the other direction financially. They're trying to hurt us financially. Let's hurt them financially. Let's stop supporting businesses that are trying to undermine the white race in America. And that's what it's a racial problem. I talked with a guy today at lunch who said, no, it's not the white people that are the enemy. It's the middle class. I said, no, it's not. It's white. That's the most fundamental distinction that they've been able to come up with. And that is the field of battle they've chosen for this Armageddon that we're having with them right now. We've got to understand that's why they're coming after you. They're not coming after you because you're a Christian. They're not coming after you because you're a conservative. They're not coming after you because you're a nationalist rather than a globalist. They can say all of those things, but basically what they're coming against you for is the fact that you're white. Now, another thing, you know, we are in a war. This is a bloodless war, but it is nonetheless a war for the hearts and souls of America and the whole of the West. They basically want to make, like Kevin McAllister in Home Alone wanted to make his family disappear, they want to make the white race disappear from Europe, the Anglosphere, and America in particular. So, what do we do? Oscar Wilde, the English playwright, said it best. We want to win, as James said. He said, in the real world, goodness isn't rewarded and evil isn't punished. Instead, victory goes to the strong and defeat is thrust upon the weak. We've got to make sure that we are the strong in this, okay? And that's what we're going to do.
Keith, fantastic. I appreciate that. Let me tell you something, people. I'm hot right now. I'm not angry. I'm not mad. I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. I am intense. And when I get intense, I can get things done and I can get some things accomplished. And I mean, you know, we've never just sat back and gotten fat here at TPC. We've always tried to stay lean and active and engaged and doing the best job we can. But I will tell you, I am ready to pour into this. And whatever I've done before, do it twice as well. We'll be right back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief package is now in the hands of the Senate after being passed by the House early Saturday morning. The Senate version is not expected to include a hike to the federal minimum wage after the Senate parliamentarian determined the bill could not include the wage increase under budget reconciliation rules. Senator Bill Hagerty says there won't be GOP support for it in the Senate either way. The Tennessee Republican tells Fox News there's not enough in the package that addresses the pandemic to generate bipartisan support.
It's a $1.9 trillion package, over 90% of which has nothing to do with the pandemic. We've not even spent close to $1 trillion of the funds that were previously allocated on a bipartisan basis, and their goal is to come and jam through what is essentially a socialist wish list right through on a completely partisan basis, and I don't think they'll have a single Republican vote.
This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day. Men, John Jubilee with Energize Health, and I want to just talk to you man-to-man for a moment. One-third of men 50 and over suffer with high blood pressure. That high blood pressure medication has a horrible side effect, worse than death, erectile dysfunction. And it's brutal, but let's just talk about it medically. We have had thousands of people completely reverse diabetes, high blood pressure, irritable bowel syndrome, yes, and ED, raise their testosterone 500 points naturally through the breakthrough science of intercellular hydration. Men, if you're intelligent, you're skeptical. I want you to be skeptical. But go log on to our website, energizehealth.com. Click that red button, watch a masterclass, and then watch thousands of men just like you who reversed every single issue that I just mentioned. I don't make a claim. My clients make a claim. EnergizeHealth.com.
A declassified CIA report concerning the murder of a U.S.-based journalist has been released. John Clemens reports from the USA Radio News Texas Bureau.
The report concerns the October 2018 murder of Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi Arabian consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. The investigation reports the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman approved the killing of Khashoggi, who had criticized many of his actions. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki spoke to the media while aboard Air Force One.
Our intention is to recalibrate the relationship, and this would be a different relationship with the Saudi government. At the same time, we want to end the war in Yemen. We want to ensure the humanitarian crisis is addressed. And the president and every member of our team is not going to hold back in voicing concern and taking action as needed about human rights abuses.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
And this is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Let me tell you, the response is already pouring in, and I appreciate it so much. Ken up in New York, great speech, mailed my contribution just now. Took a little more effort without the credit card processing, but well worth the effort. Don't let evil win. Well, Ken, thanks to men like you, we will stay engaged in this battle. I told Keith tonight, he said, how bad is it going to hurt us? It's not going to hurt us, Keith. We're going to grow stronger because our audience is that kind of people. That's the kind of people they are, and that's what's in us. Y'all get mad, we'll get focused, and we'll start doing this thing even better than the standard we've set over the course of the last 16 years. Kevin in Georgia, James, unsurprised, but infuriated nonetheless with the regard to your message about the credit card processor travesty. I have a recurring monthly donation set up via my MasterCard. Obviously, that's no longer applicable, but I will instruct my bank to issue an automatic check monthly. As far as I understand that process, you will receive an actual paper check through the mail each month. Kevin, you are exactly right. Some people are already doing that. If you can do that, if you don't mind going through the rigors of setting that up, that would certainly help us and keep your recurring donation, which is so important to us, on schedule and arriving every month. We as a people and as a movement, Kevin writes, must coordinate our energy and resources into providing the various servers, processors, communication routes, which require... which are untouchable by the enemies of truth and liberty. If there is a need, there must be a solution. Until then, we will fight all the harder to victory. Thank you, Kevin. Look, people like Kevin inspire us, Keith. People like Kevin keep us going. And I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that our enemies would like more than you to do nothing and allow us to languish. They have gone to great lengths to silence us for so many years. But there's nothing we would want you to do more than help us fight back. And that's what people are doing. Micah in Maryland, thank you. I know you are doing the same thing and sending your support in now. We'll have to do it manually, folks. We can't do it automatically. Nothing's easy, is it? But we are going to win this thing. And Keith, I have never been more convinced about it than I have been in recent weeks. So we had a great show last week with Brad Griffin of Occidental Descent talking about this wonderful news coming out in recent polls about how whites are beginning to coalesce as a group and forming their own identity, their own racial identity as a political force. And we've seen this in a very pleasantly surprising poll. And that is because, of course, over the course of the last 5 years, whites have been attacked mercilessly during the Trump era. And down in CPAC right now. So, you know, CPAC, we used to get credentials. I never cared to go to CPAC, but because it was traditionally held in Washington, we would get credentials through the show, and we'd send Scoop there, and he would give us a scoop on it. But of course, it's in Florida this year. We ended up getting banned from CPAC, of course, too, like everybody else. But anyway, CPAC now, Keith, establishment media, the regime media, as Peter Brimelow and I are now beginning to call it, the regime media is accusing CPAC and comparing CPAC, CUCPAC. I mean, they are basically moderate Democrats. That's what they are. It's supposed to be the Conservative Political Action Conference, but they're basically moderate Democrats, and they're comparing them to a Nazi rally. Now, if CPAC is a Nazi rally, I don't even know where I'm going with that, but I mean, it just goes to show the absurdity. Even limp-wristed, cocked-out flakes and freaks like those who would go to CPAC, and I know Donald Trump's there, and you know maybe we'll call him the exception. But if they're Nazis, come on, folks, you know it means all white people. It's time It's time to become who we are, and it's time to take back, and it's time to let the men be in charge for a change again.
Look, what it shows is that punching right has nothing good to offer to our side. That's what CPAC's people have done for years. Rather than standing up for conservative values, they say, look, we're the good conservatives. All those people over there like the political cesspool are the bad conservatives. Well, they now have gotten a definitive answer from the left and said, no, CPAC, you're just as bad as Adolf Hitler. Okay, you are to the left of us, I mean to the right of us, and we are the gold standard. We are what good, normal people believe in, transgenderism and everything else that they, every other crazy left-wing lunacy that they've embraced. And if you don't embrace all of them with zealous fervor, then you are a bad Nazi, okay? Now, that's why Brad Griffin this past week has said that the best strategy for us since Charlottesville has been to do nothing. Let the left continue to press the initiative, and they're now stripped naked. Okay, they're naked, and it ain't pretty. Okay, and what they've done to us, basically, what they've shown us is that they are against whites. Listen to them. They talk about white privilege. They talk about critical race theory. They go after every, you know, and they've made it explicit for all these CPAC people and all these normies that say, no, they're anti-middle class, they're anti-nationalists, this and that. No, they're not. Listen to them. Listen to the voices, okay? They are anti-white. They make no bones about it. And white people are becoming to understand this and realize that you can run, but you can't hide if you're white. They're coming after you. Look what has happened, for example. If there's one thing that the left has done over the past several years that has radicalized normies in the South, it is the taking down of Confederate statues and then going on to the Founding Fathers and then going on to Catholic priests like Junipero Serra. Anybody that, yeah, you know, they've even taken Dianne Feinstein's name off of a school in San Francisco because she once took down a Confederate flag.
Or no, she once allowed a Confederate flag to fly in some nondescript location.
Well, see, that's what I mean. You know, if Dianne Feinstein can't pass muster, is there a white person alive today or that lived in the past that is not subject to ridicule, vilification, demonization? That's it.
Well, and what Brad said in that article, and we're going to continue to talk about it in a moment before we go to Sam Bushman in the next segment, but what he was saying was there's nothing we could do that would better coalesce whites into a group identity than what the left and what the establishment is already doing. So watching the regime media hysterically compare an organization as milquetoast as CPAC to a Nazi rally just goes to show, I think, Keith, how tenuous and fragile their hold at the end of the day really is. What you've got is the majority of whites now believing more and more like we do. And the gatekeepers of the media, that's only a few thousand people. A few thousand people trying to hold back millions of people. Their grip is slipping, and it will soon be no more. Whites are waking up. I'm reading the regime media saying that the stage at CPAC looks like a Nazi symbol used by the SS, and now the Hyatt Regency, where the CPAC is being held, is having to respond to the media. Oh my God, we're so sorry. It's CPAC. CPAC, listen, Keith, they're slipping. Whites are waking up. Whites are waking up, and they understand that this is a war against them. The enemy dictated the terms. It was going to be based on race. And for far too long, whites have fallen asleep, and the pathological altruism, I think that is changing. I think it has changed more over the last 5 years, even as things have gotten progressively worse, and even though censorship and deplatforming and all of these other obstacles and hurdles have become more stringent. We needed that. Our people needed to be pressured and pressed and made it to be uncomfortable, and the more uncomfortable they become, the more outspoken and reactive they will be.
They need to realize you can run, but you can't hide. You cannot take shelter or find dispensation in being a good white, because there is no such thing as a good white, just like Teddy Roosevelt said there's no such thing as a good Indian, okay? They have now declared war on us. They're in the process now of trying to weaponize groups like the FBI and turned them into a modern version of the Cheka to come against American citizens the way that the Cheka came after Russian citizens back after the Bolshevik Revolution. When they make all of us enemies, then they have, they've bitten off more than they can chew. Because there's a difference between us and the people of Russia. We had the Second Amendment, and we have a lot of very well-armed people. And these people are not going to stand for the confiscation of their guns. They're not going to stand for being vilified and losing jobs and having this Equality Act, which basically enshrines affirmative action. Affirmative action was always a perversion and a misreading of the 64 Civil Rights Act. But now they're going to let us know that the Civil Rights Act, we don't care about that. We've moved beyond that. It is now open season on white people. That's what they want to do with this so-called Equality Act that is going through Congress right now. Now, people understand that we have got to draw the line. We cannot, and if there is a company in America that signs on to critical race theory and do other things like that, guess what? Those people are not going to get our business. We're going to fight back peacefully, but we're going to make sure we're going to, you know, like I said, the only sound of liberal fears is the click of a closing purse. And that's what we've got to instill that fear into them, that they're going to mess up and lose their livelihoods, just like those hedge fund traders in Wall Street did on the GameStop debacle.
More good news coming up. Well, I don't know if we've had any good news yet, but we got some good news coming up. Whites are waking up. More evidence to that fact when we come back.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Mm-hmm. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me tell the story before that when I founded this program back in the fall of 2004, if you can believe it's been that long, and it sure has gone by quickly, I didn't want to be the local Limbaugh or the local Hannity. I wanted to be better than that. I wanted to talk to people who had interesting things to say that matched up with my worldview. And I went out and we have had, I think, the most thoughtful, the most honorable, the most courageous, the most manly men and women. Well, not manly women, but manly men. And when we do the ladies' night show, some of the greatest women that this country has to offer. I wanted to find the best of the best and bring them on this show. It wasn't a show to bring on and bask in the glow of, hey, we interviewed a congressman. Well, we've interviewed congressmen. And when we were at the Republican convention as officially credentialed media, we interviewed, I think, a dozen or more congressmen, senators, and governors. There were some that we interviewed that we didn't put on the show because it was the interviews were somewhat derivative regarding the conference and the convention in 2016 and Donald Trump and et cetera. We actually interviewed one congressman at the time who went on to be a very big figure in the Trump administration. And I can remember talking to him about our interview with Walter Jones, who was a congressman who appeared with us some years ago. So it's not just about interviewing congressmen. We interview elected members of parliament in Europe, sitting members of parliament in their respective nations. We can do that. I want to talk to people. I don't care who you are. You can be a congressman. You can be an elected official. I want to talk to people who are advancing our cause. And as soon as we have more congressmen and senators advancing our cause here in America that have something thoughtful to say rather than just reading their talking points, we'll have more on this show. But I was up and I talked with Steve King at the Republican National Convention in 2016, talked to him about Western civilization, talked to a lot of people there. You know, we don't give all of our secrets here on this show. There's a lot of people we talk to behind the scenes that form relationships with that we don't share with a larger audience because we only want people to go as far as they're comfortable in going. But anyway... Steve King made some good comments about Western civilization. Then he would follow it up with something like voting to censure himself. So we got to be more consistent. We got to do better than that. But Steve King was at a pro-white conference, also in Orlando, running concurrently with CPAC, AFPAC, as Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes and I actually spoke at a meeting I've never told this story either, in Chattanooga a couple of years ago. We were both speakers at a conference. And I know Nick. It's hard for me to relate to some of the younger people because I'm 40 now. I said in a recent interview, I thank God when I started in my 20s that people older than me cared enough to hear what I have to say. It's hard for me as a married man and a husband and a father to relate to people in their 20s now. But in any event, that doesn't mean that I don't support the work that they're doing and the message that they have. So anyway, there was a conference that took place in Orlando that featured Steve King and current sitting Congressman Paul Gosar out of Arizona. And the messages were quite good. And unlike in the past, when people would run like a scalded dog after being called out from the press, sitting Representative Gosar is not. In fact, he's doubling down. And I read here from ABC News, GOP Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona was the surprise keynote speaker at a conference Friday night in Orlando, Florida, where speakers spread white nationalist rhetoric and organizers railed about the U.S. losing its white demographic core. Keith, I have said for years, when our ideas become the pathway to power, everybody will fall in line. When it becomes trendy, fashionable, in vogue, the path of least resistance, people will fall in line. That is beginning to manifest itself. So this was a key thing that happened here, I think, and good for them. It's good that other people now are helping us do the work. I mean, we were in 2004, we were talking about this. Nobody else was out there. There are other people out there doing good work now, too. And I congratulate them for that success. But to have a sitting representative who will say something interesting and not back down. When we would have people on, when we would reach out to people, and I would always go the extra mile. I'd say, this is the show we are. This is who I am. And this is who I am not. And this is who we are not. But this is what you will be called if you appear. And I would go to that extent before anybody would accept an invitation if it was somebody like a
elected official. Well, you wrote the book Racism, Spacism, which I think is probably even more timely today than it was when it was first published back in 2010.
Well, it certainly is. And the book has had a renaissance in the last year, probably got more press or at least as much. If not as much as any year it did since its publication back in 2010. But I would always tell people, this is who we are, this is who we're not, this is what will happen if you come on the show, and we'll let the chips fall where they may. But now you have this Gosar, Representative Gosar, who has doubled down after the media has skewered him today for appearing at this conference, and he's not backing down. And as soon as a few people do that, let me tell you, folks, the dominoes will fall, because we have truth on our side. We have righteousness on our side. We have God on our side. We are right. They are wrong. They are degenerate. They are evil. We are right. Our way is the path forward. Traditionalism, we got to go back to the future. That's what we've got to do. And as soon as you have a few people, and we've been doing it for years, and we've inspired a lot, but as soon as you have people with the real power do it, they're all going to fall in line. You wait and see, folks. I am more encouraged now than I have been at any point in my career. I just feel it. I feel it. I saw the poll. I believe the poll. That has reconfirmed my belief in years that fundamentally whites agree with us. They don't want to risk much. They're not going to do much as long as, who wants to stick their head up and get snipered when they got a family to feed at home? But let me tell you something, folks. When a few people begin to stand with us and take the bullets, it makes it more and more palatable. Yeah, I just feel like something's going to turn. I feel like something's going to turn. I think the media is losing its grips over whites. I think we're going to win. I don't know when. I don't know how. It may be decades. It may be generations from now. But things are already turning in a way that they weren't, Keith, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly 16 years ago when we started this show.
Well, they're finally taking – the Republicans like Gosar are finally taking the advice of Pat Buchanan, and they're going hunting where the ducks are. They have begun to realize, because of the unrelenting drumbeat of Black Lives Matter and critical race theory and white privilege, institutional racism, systemic racism, that there is no ratification, no validation, no comfort to be given to anyone who is even vaguely conservative or has a vaguely traditional outlook. None of the people on the left will do anything for you. It's basically what it appears like when they start trying to appeal to the left. It's like a Stalinist show trial in the 30s where they would get some former dyed-in-the-wool communist who they decided for one reason or another had to go. He would profess his undying loyalty to the revolution and whatnot, and guess what? They would listen to it, find him guilty, march him out to the firing squad, and dispatch him. Well, that's what they're doing metaphorically to all of these Republicans. The Republicans are the party of white people, and they better figure it out. And I think they are in the process of figuring it out. All the pandering to black interests, to left-wing identity groups, none of that has gotten them any votes. Look at the vote totals for Trump's last election. Again, his supporters are white people to the largest extent possible. And quite frankly, we need to be able to have a sense of racial solidarity just like every other group, okay? And that's all, that's exactly what we need, and that's what we're getting now. People realize there's nothing to be gained by trying to appease the left, trying to be reasonable. Why? Because of critical theory. The principal tenet or strategy of cultural Marxism. Relentless criticism. Never concede that your opponent has made a good point. And now, since they're beginning to understand that, they understand that the only path to victory is by embracing white people. That's what the Trump supporters are, first and foremost. They are white people. you know, CPAC was notorious. There used to be a joke. What do they call the one person, the one black person that you find at a CPAC convention? Answer, the keynote speaker. They're always looking for someone to validate, some minority to validate their opinions, which gives people the idea that if they don't find enough black people, brown people, yellow people, whatever, to validate your position, it is totally invalid. And that just plays into the critical race theory argument that white people are basically non-people. They are the enemy, the eternal enemy, the enemy that cannot be appeased, cannot be converted. They just need to be defeated. And that's what they are doing to us right now. And I think people are beginning to figure it out. And they realize that they're going to have to come back. They're, you know, when you don't identify your enemy, you can't defeat them. You cannot, for example, as a white person, sit there and take all this abuse from leftists, from critical race theorists and whatnot, because they're not going to write that off to say, well, the white people are just too polite to come back. No, what they'll take it as is, there's no answer. They're guilty as charged.
All right, we'll be back with Sam Bushman. Jason Kuna still on deck tonight. I want to thank Rich for his pledge of support. Rich is there with us every quarter without fail, going back to the beginning of the show. Alan in Florida, due to your problems, wanted to let you know I have mailed my first quarter contribution. Looking forward to the show tonight. Well, Alan, thanks for being here with us, Alan down in Florida. We love y'all, folks. Saddle up. Let's ride to the sound of the guns together. We'll be back. Much more to come. Stay tuned.